Hey, greetings to all the young people out there. This is Brother James at DontParish.com, John 4:24 Radio, coming to you today with a teaching for young people. Today, we're going to talk about taming the tongue and speaking good words. Yeah, I thought this would be a good topic. A young man that is interested in things of God through his mother asked me a question, this question, and I thought we would talk about it. How we can control our language and speak good words. This is good for youth and for adults, right? We all have to control our tongues, control our mouths. So I hope this edifies you all. As always, we build our ways and our knowledge and our truth on God's holy word. Let's go to Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So this just means that you can help others, you can love them, you can build them up with your words, or you can destroy, hurt, be mean and hateful with your words, right? How do you think God would want us to talk most of the time? That's something to think about. So before we get into the topic of controlling our tongue and our words, let's first talk about the gospel good news. Now, I have a long article on it at the website where I have all the youth articles. Ask your parents, they can find it for you, and you could listen to the long explanation of the gospel, how we can be in God's kingdom today and how we can live eternally in it to go be with our Creator and avoid a fiery hell and judgment where God's enemies are going because they choose it because of sin. They choose that by their own choice. So you can go listen to that long teaching, but for this I just want to cover it really quickly. For this teaching, sin and bad things cause man to fall away from God, right? And Jesus, fully man, fully God, came to show us the way to God's kingdom, who God was. And by his death, burial, and resurrection, his shed blood and his resurrection, he points the way, the only way back to God. Jesus shed his blood and he rose again just for you, so that you could be forgiven. He did it for me too, and your mom and dad, your brothers and sisters. You must place your faith, your belief in him. You really believe he is who he said he was, and he did what he said he was going to do, that he rose again. Then you have to repent. That means change your mind about your bad ways, like bad talk. We're going to talk about bad words. Then, when you're old enough and God is agreeing to it, and you're old enough to understand, God will send you his spirit, and you'll be born again. You get a new heart and a new mind. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. And you'll be a new creation. Then you can follow Jesus in the Spirit. Not going to church and not doing the world's ways in your own ways, but following Jesus by his word and by the Spirit. Very important. And then what we do when we're born again, holiness. That means to be set apart for God, obeying him. You strive in that every day until the end of your life. You endure in your faith every day. And when you die, you get to go be with him in eternity, or when Jesus comes back. He's coming back one day. Yes, he is. And when he comes back, you get to be with him and not separated out away from him because of sin. So that's the gospel good news. Go listen to the long gospel so you can build your foundation on Jesus and the gospel. And you can listen to that. If you have questions, you can let me know through your parents. So let me give you some counsel and help on how to control the tongue. This young man asked this question. I'm so glad he did. I was once a man before I was born again in Christ. I talked very bad, used very bad language. I was hurtful. I was very sinful with my mouth and my tongue. But you know what? God changed my heart and my mind. And today I try really hard and I use all my words for his glory. And you can do that too. You know, that is our purpose as human beings. God created you. You're not the product of evolution. You're not a mistake. You're a wonderful, individual, unique creation from God, made in his image. And he made you to bring him glory. Isn't that awesome? So let's talk about words. Do they really matter? And then let's talk about where do bad words come from. Have you wondered that? We're going to talk about it. So the Bible says this. This is where we get all our truth from the Bible. James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious, but bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. So religion means your faith in God, and vain means it's useless. So that means if we have bad mouths, Brother James has a bad mouth, or you have a bad mouth, and we say we believe and follow Jesus, we lie. It's not true. You can't believe in God and say and do bad things. That would make us liars. That's like a hypocrite. That means you say something, but you don't do it. And God is not pleased with that. In Revelation 22, 14 and 15, he says liars won't get into the kingdom of God. So we want to our actions, we want our actions to match what we believe and say, right? If you love your sister, you're not mean to her. If you love your mom and dad, you obey them. But if you don't, people say, well, you don't love them, you don't obey them. So we want our actions to be consistent. So it's very important. If we can't control our tongue, we can't really have a faith in Jesus. And the Bible also commands in Ephesians 5, verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. So filthiness, I think you know what that means. Foolishness, careful how foolish we are. It's okay to laugh and smile sometimes, but we don't want to be silly and foolish and goofy. We want to be more sober. I'm going to do a teaching on that. More sober-minded than we are silly and goofy. There's a time to laugh with your mom and dad or your brothers and sisters. We can be joyful, but we don't want to be silly and goofy and not focus serious on the things of God. I'll do a teaching on that sometime. So controlling our words is very important according to God and the Bible, his eternal word, if we want to follow him and please him. Next, let's talk about where do bad words come from? Remember I asked you that question? Now, unless you're a little tiny baby and you're just imitating words you hear, they hear a bad word and they imitate it, they don't even know it's a bad word. When bad and hurtful and mean things come out of your mouth, don't they really come from your heart, not your lips? Think about that. Do your lips make you say things, or does it come from your mind and your heart and you speak them? Do you see what I'm saying? You think in your mind, Mom, I want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And then your mouth goes, Mom, I want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. When was the last time your lips just said, I want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? When your mind and your heart didn't think it. Do you see what I'm saying? So bad words and good words come from our heart. The Bible teaches that in many places. Jesus said this, Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Evil means sinful and bad. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does speak. So do you see what he's saying? This means your heart is really what controls you. Your mind, your heart, your thoughts. It controls your mouth. So if your heart is full of bad things, you're going to say bad things. But if your heart is full of more good things and pure things and true things from God, you're going to talk more about those things, right? I mean, no one forces you to say bad things to come out of your lips, do they? I don't think that's possible at all. That would be foolish to think that. No, we must choose our words with great caution, because remember, God's listening, and so is everyone else around us. I have a question. Well, first I want to say, when you release words, you can never get them back. Did you know that? Once you put them out there, whether they're good or bad, you can't get them back. Have you ever seen a person, maybe you've done this, with a bunch of balloons on strings, they got helium in them, and all of a sudden they get let go, and the balloons fly off, and people go, oh no, and the balloons fly off up into the air, and nobody can get them back. That's like our words. When we send them out there, people hear them, God hears them, and we can't get them back. Jesus said we'll be judged for every idle word that comes from our mouth. That just means judged for words that don't need to be said, bad words, hurtful words. We have to be very careful with our tongues and what we say. We can't take words back once they're released. So the real issue is mankind, remember we talked about this, fell into sin, and he has bad things in his heart due to his fallen into this sin over and over many generations. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9, it says this: the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That means sinful and bad. Who can know it? So wicked means bad. It says the heart is bad. Now that's the heart that's outside of God, but we're going to talk about how to have a good heart in God. There's good news. You don't have to have a bad heart. So remember the gospel I just talked to you. Sin, that means going against the ways and the word of God, and the systems of man are all around you, and that's Satan's kingdom. You'll learn about that if you go listen to the larger gospel I preached. That means like politics and movies and sports and all the bad things you see going on and all the materialism and all of the things that are not of God. Satan created all that. That's his kingdom. And that affects you if you let it. You don't want to let that affect you. Hearing bad talk, seeing bad words, seeing bad people do bad things, say bad things. No, we don't want that to affect us. We must repent. That means change our mind and our ways and choose to walk after God's kingdom here on earth. And one day we're going to go be with him in his kingdom, or he's going to come back and he's going to get us when he returns. So we have to strive to be holy. That means set apart for God in all our ways. That's our talk and our language and our words as well. So now I've told you this, and you may say, but if my heart is bad, then how can I ever expect to live and say good things for God? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Let's discuss that. Since we know our words come from our heart, either good or bad, if we look to God and we choose good, he will help us. And here are some wonderful tips and some wonderful suggestions I have for you to help you in your words. Ready? I have six of them. I hope you can bear with me as I teach these six things to help you. Number one, you can hide God's word in your heart every day. This means read it, try hard to understand it, then try hard to live by it. You can't just do this once in a while, but you do this every day. Set some time aside to read God's word with your mom, with your dad, with your sisters, by yourself. Listen to some of our teaching audios if you want, if your mom and dad let you. And listen to God's word. It will change you. It will change your heart and your mind. It did for me. I was a very bad, sinful man, and God, by his grace, he gets all the credit. He cleaned me up and he made me into a new vessel, a new person. And we'll talk about vessel in a minute. Psalm 119, 10 and 11. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So see, if you read God's word and you know God's heart and what he wants from you, kind of like knowing what your mom or dad wants from you, you can then live according in peace and joy, and it can be wonderful knowing what your mom and dad expect. Well, same thing with God. Knowing what God expects of you, and then you read his word, that's our standard. And then you know what he expects of you, and you can live in peace and harmony with God because of what Jesus has done to cleanse you and make you whole. I mentioned the word vessel really quickly. Imagine your life is a big cup, and you've allowed a bunch of dirty water, rainy water, muck, muddy river water, full of a bunch of garbage. And look at your vessel and say, look at my vessel. That's my life. Look at my cup. My life is full of a bunch of dirty stuff. How did that happen? Well, out of a bad heart, the bad culture around you, bad thoughts. But you know what you can do? Oh, this is so glorious. You can repent and you can change your mind. You can turn your vessel upside down and God will help you. And what happens? All that dirty water and garbage pours out and you flip it back up. And then you know what God does? God sends you living water and truth and the Spirit and the Word. And now your cup, your vessel, which is your life, your heart, your mind, gets filled up with the pure, clean, living Word of God and the things of God. So isn't that beautiful? You want to clean your vessel, clean your life. You wouldn't drink off that dirty cup, right? Of course not. Oh, that would be gross. But you dump it out and you fill it full of clean water, and now you can drink and drink and never run out because of what Christ has done. So remember that. Your life is a cup or a vessel. What are you filling it with? That's what's going to control your words and your thoughts. Number two, you can put your daily thoughts and your mind on things above. Put them on God. Yep, we can think about really bad things all the time, or we can think about good, pure, and true things. Colossians 3:2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. That means you should be wanting to think about things above, not having a fancy car, having a fancy boat, having a lot of money. You should be saying, I want to think about things above that are in heaven, that are eternal, that are about Jesus. And that's going to help purify your heart and your mind. We can also have the mind of Christ. That means how we think. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So via the gospel, and as you get older, you'll be formed by the word of God, and his spirit will come in you and form you when the age is right, when your age is right. But you can be laying down all the foundation and the seeds to grow all these truths of God in you. That's why I labor on my website to teach people, old and young. I witness in the street to young and old people, and I tell them how to build the foundation of their life in Christ, not in religion, churchianity, denominations, not in the world, not on their own thoughts and their own bad ways. So you can have the mind of Christ by seeking the things of Christ and thinking upon them. Forming daily habits, reading the word, studying the word, memorizing some scriptures if you can, talking about the word, obeying the word, putting away bad things. See how you're forming your life and cleaning out your cup, your vessel for God. That's a glorious thing you can do. All right, number three. If you're young, too young to be born again, you can ask God to create in you a clean heart. Think about that. There was a king in Israel named David one time, and he said this, Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Isn't that wonderful? So God helped David make his heart better so that David would love God, that David would be full of good things, that David would put bad things and bad words out of his life, and he became a very godly man. He did some bad things, but he repented, and God forgave him, and then he became a very godly man because he asked. He said, God, create in me a right spirit, and you can ask that of God too. And when you're old enough, you'll get the Holy Spirit, and he will come and make his home with you. Number four, you don't always have to talk and say things. Yeah, this one's hard. You know, Brother James is a street preacher, and I talk a lot when I go on the street. I preach, and I preach, and I preach. And when I witness, I witness, and I witness. But you know what? I've got to use what's called discipline. If you want to be a disciple, that means somebody that follows Jesus, we have to be disciplined. That means control ourselves. And sometimes it's better to not say anything at all than say something bad. Let's say someone makes you angry and you want to blurt something out. Ask God to give you wisdom and don't say anything at all. Or wait until your heart and mind are right to say good things, then speak. Sometimes it's okay to say, you know what? I really don't want to say anything right now. I'm not prepared to say what I want to say. That's a good thing to say. Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Esteemed just means he's lifted up and people go, wow, he must be smart because he's not saying nothing. So that's the key. If you say something wrong, it shows that you are not in the right. If you be quiet and don't say anything, you didn't say something wrong. You might be thinking, I wonder what's right. And people look at you and say, he's pretty wise for not saying anything because he's not wrong. You see the point? Think before you speak. You don't always have to speak and say things, and that will help you a lot. That's called wisdom. Wisdom is being smart, knowing when to do things or say things and when not to. God can give you wisdom if you ask for his spirit and his word. Number five. Avoid bad associations and people that talk bad. Yeah, I had this problem when I was a youngster. I had people that swore around me very bad language all the time. If you hear bad talk over and over all the time, and you're around people that talk that way and talk that way, if you're not careful, they can cause you to start using bad words and slip in your language Bad company corrupts. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived, that means don't be fooled. Evil communication, that means talk, corrupts good manner. So if you hang out with like a best friend, let's say, and he was like really mean to everybody and had bad manners, you might start being like him. You have to be careful. Bad association can corrupt you. So ask your mom and dad about, do I have to be around people that talk really bad and act really bad a lot? Because that can affect you. Now be careful. Don't look down on people that talk bad or that are sinful and say, I'm better than you. Don't do that, because we're not better than anyone. We may be different because God's called us and changed our hearts and we're different, but we're not better than them. We love them. We want to share the gospel with them, but we don't want to imitate their bad ways. Does that make sense? I hope it does. And lastly, number 6, remember the gospel I preached to you? Go listen to the long gospel audio I have at the youth section at don'tperish.com. If you're old enough, I don't know what age that is. God knows. Your mom and dad can probably guide you and tell you about when, but it's going to be God that decides. And when you can understand God and sin and good and righteousness and what Jesus did and the gospel and his word, if you can understand that and you have a heart for God, one day he's going to totally transform your heart and your mind by his spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That means a new person. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Isn't that awesome? When you are born again, if you said a million bad words before you were born again, and then you learned about Jesus, and you said, oh my, I've said so many bad things. How could I ever be forgiven? Because of Jesus shed blood and he cleanses us when we confess our sins. All your bad ways are washed away and God says, I don't remember them anymore. Isn't that wonderful? That's how Jesus came to make us, through grace, available to go to be with God. Now, we're not always going to live perfect even after we come to Jesus. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Let me hold off on that. And he still can forgive us, even if we know him, when we make mistakes. But think about that. All your past bad ways are forgiven when you become this new creation, born again in Christ. And that's the best way, when you're old enough, to make sure that you don't live in bad things, that you don't always talk bad things. God's Holy Spirit is going to come live in you. You'll be born again. And what that means is you were born in the flesh, in your skin. You were born as a baby through your mom. God created you that way. And one day you have to be born by the Spirit of God to be prepared for the next life to come in eternity. I hope that makes sense to you. You're born in the flesh as a baby. You must be born in the Spirit to become a child of God and get ready for the next life. So I hope that explains to you the 6 things that you can ponder and think about that will cleanse your vessel, fill your mind and your heart, and help your tongue. It's not really your tongue that's the issue. It's your heart. It's your life. It's what you're putting in your mind. It's who you're hanging out with. Does that make sense? I hope that does. Now, let's go back to what I said about you're still going to do some bad things sometime. Sometimes bad habits, bad words, they do just pop out. I understand that. When I first became born again, I still had to talk bad for a little while, and I had to catch myself all the time and stop it. But you know what? If you do say a bad thing after you promised God you're not going to do that no more, if you'll quickly repent, that means change your mind and ways, ask the person who heard you, I'm sorry, I don't talk like that anymore, that was a mistake. Then ask God to forgive you and say, I'm sorry, God, and tell him you want to do better, tell him you want to know good things, tell him you want to love him and you want to be like him and you want to seek after him. You know what? God is so merciful, that means forgiving, caring, loving, long-suffering, that means he's patient with you. He's not going to punish you for those sins if you confess them. Confess means I agree with God they're bad and I should stop them. That's what that means. And isn't that awesome? God will still forgive you. You're not going to be perfect. I'm not perfect, but we should try to be as perfect as we can for God, right? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, let's say bad words, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins, our bad words, and to cleanse us. That makes us clean, like when you take a bath or a shower when you've been all muddy, from all unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is lots of bad things and sin against God. He cleans us up from all of those. Isn't that awesome? What a glorious God. It's why I serve him the way I do, because he's forgiven me from so much and made me clean. I need to say this too. If some of you listen to my witnessing audios and my street preaching videos, you might sometimes hear Brother James rebuking, that means correcting sternly, a false teacher or someone on audio or video, and I may say some things that you say, wow, that was harsh of Brother James, and you might not understand that today, but I want to encourage you, sometimes we have to say harsh things to people that are in wrong and in sin and in bad ways to correct them and save their soul. If you read the Bible, ask your mom and dad, go read Matthew 23, Jesus was very stern with the false teachers, the Pharisees of his day, and he did it to lovingly call out the truth. He didn't use bad words. I'm not talking about using bad words and swear words. He just used harsh words, like calling them, "Woe to you hypocrites." Oh, that's not a nice word, you know, to be called a hypocrite, but it's a truthful word, and they needed to hear it. So he didn't use bad words. He used harsh words, and sometimes you'll hear Brother James use harsh words on false teachers and people that are defending sin, but everyone else who wants the truth of God, who is desiring holiness, who wants to obey God, I try to be patient and kind and loving and long-suffering, because God was that way with me one time, so he is that way all the time. I need to be that way with others. You'll understand that as you grow up and mature. So all these things in the 6 points I mentioned, your words can help your words to be coming from a good heart, not a bad heart, not a sinful heart. And God and his word and his spirit can make you speak well, speak good, speak edifying. Edifying means good words, helpful words. And what a wonderful help God's word is, God's spirit is, for all of you young people that are seeking God's ways. You must seek God. He's not going to chase you. He's not going to force you. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," Matthew 6:33, "and everything else will be added unto you." Hey, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. He said, "Seek ye the kingdom of God and its righteousness," which means do what's right, "and everything will be added unto you." I have a question, young ones. Is everything else include talking good? It does. If you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will help you talk better. Now notice, I've been using lots of scripture and concept from God's word to help you talk better. Remember, you can do this with any situation that you will face in life as you grow up. Go to God, pray to him, talk to him, then go to his word, look up answers, and he has answers and guidance and correction for everything you're going to face in life as you grow up. Isn't that awesome? God has given us an instruction manual on how to live this life for him. He didn't leave us without truth. Imagine if your dad gave you a bike in 150 pieces and said, "Put it together, son." And you said, "I don't have a clue where to start." And your loving father says, "Here, son, here's a book. Start at page one. It will walk you through, and you can build this bike." And you'd go, "Thanks, Dad. That would be a great help, wouldn't it?" Rather than just throwing it at you and telling you do it on your own. No, the Word of God is our great help, and that's why I teach it and preach it to everyone. Let me read to you Ephesians 4:29 about words. "Let no corrupt communication," that means bad words, "proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." Edifying means it was meaningful. It was helpful to you. It built you up. And I hope this audio is building up you young people and even you parents listening. I hope it's building you up and knowing how to help your young people with their bad talk. If you talk bad, you should be ready to be punished in whatever way your parents say is appropriate, as long as it's appropriate punishment. And then you should be willing to ask God for forgiveness and then flee those ways, repent those ways, and don't continue to do them. Does that all make sense? So words really do matter. God spoke honestly in the Bible to give us his truth. The Bible, the word of God, we can trust and we can rely on it. We can believe our whole eternity and our soul and our life on it. I have a question. Do you want people to trust and believe what you say? If you do, then speak good words. Don't speak bad. Seek after that which God would have you say that glorifies him, because that's your purpose. Last verse I have for you. I want to leave you with encouragement, young people. Isaiah 41:10. You might say, Brother James, how am I going to do this? This young life is so hard, and the world is so bad, and it's all so hard. How can I do this? Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I love that verse. Righteousness means what's right to God. Talking good and not bad is what's right to God. God is there to help you, young people. Seek him in the Bible. See who he is in Jesus. Be ready to obey everything he shares with you and tells you in the Word. And he will lift you up. He will send the grace, which means help. He will send the Spirit. He will fill your heart with good thoughts. And that means better words. Think about it. A good mind and a good heart from God means better words. A bad and sinful mind and heart means bad words. Amen? Amen. I hope that's helped you. If you have any questions, you can have your parents call or email me anytime. I'm here to help you. We love you very much with the truth of God. Until next time, I'm going to bring more teachings for young people. I'm really enjoying these. I got to go get ready. I'm standing in front of an event right here. They're putting on a worldly rodeo event. And Brother James is going to stand outside of the rodeo event with gospel signs. And I'm going to preach Jesus. And I'm going to preach Christ crucified in the gospel. Why do I do that? Because I want to glorify God. And I want to love my neighbor. And maybe you'll be interested to watch some videos or listen to some audios from that preaching that's coming up. So I got to get ready and go do that. I hope this has edified you. Again, we love you all. Repent, young people. Obey the gospel. We're here to help you. Brother James at don'tperish.com. Till next time, have a glorious day. Speak good words. And may God be praised.